Blog Talk Radio.
I can cast a spell, secrets you can tell. Make a special group, put fire inside of you. Anytime you feel danger of me, then instantly I will appear. Oh, I'm every woman, it's all in me. Anything you want done, baby.
And good morning. How is everyone this fine Tuesday? It's April the 28th of 2009, and you are listening to Power Women Magazine and Radio Show, and we're just excited to have you with us today. We have a lot going on, new things that are happening in Power Women Magazine world that we'd love to share with you. Our guest for the show today, and I believe she just called in, is Dr. Barbara Holstein, and she'll be on the air here in just a few minutes. We do want to remind you, ladies, to come by our website, and you can find us at www.powerwomenmagazine.com. We have a lot of new things going on. We now have a lady, Angela Kaufman, that does frugalness. I know that's a new word. And she will show you how to beat the economy with things going on in your home and in your everyday life. We have her as a new contributor, and we have a lot of new things in the magazine. We had the photo winner, the Mother's Day photo contest winner, which was Pat Miller and her daughter Katie Miller. She is a breast cancer survivor, and we have her pictures up on the front page. So stop by powerwomenmagazine.com and look those things up. And after the show today, we have a special announcement of some things that Power Women Magazine is connected with, and we want to share that information with you. So stay tuned after the show. But right now, we're going to bring on Dr. Barbara Holstein. Let's see if we can get her push the right button today. Good morning.
Good morning, Deb. I'm delighted to be with you.
Well, we're so excited to have you here with us today. How are you doing today?
I'm great. Where are you located?
I am located in Hot Springs, Arkansas. And
wow.
So that's kind of out in the middle of nowhere, but we're here.
Mm-hmm.
And but we have connected with women all around the world, and we are growing bigger by the day. I think the last time we had statistics dropped in my email, we were close to the 12,000 follower mark.
Oh,
so,
wonderful.
Yes, we are growing in by leaps and bounds, that's for sure, for sure. Dr. Barbara Holstein, we have learned that you are involved in the Enchanted Self. Can you tell us a little bit about what the Enchanted Self is?
Yes, yes. Well, first of all, I'm a positive psychologist. I've been in practice 25 years in Long Branch, New Jersey, with my husband, Russell. And I also have been a teacher and a school psychologist, so I come from a lot of places where I've seen different things with women and girls. They're my specialty. Anyway, I developed a term called the Enchanted Self, and
mm-hmm.
What that term is all about is the happiness capacities within all of us, but I do focus on women and girls, so when I'm talking now, I'm particularly focusing on them, that we tend in our culture to diminish ourselves and be very obsessed with the outside, external things, the starlets, you know, all the different issues that we're faced
mm-hmm.
with as young girls and then women. We face various ego-blowing things, criticisms from husbands, difficulties with status and jobs, all sorts of things. But my research documented how much capacity for happiness and well-being really lurks inside of each woman. So
right.
it became my absolute mission, and I see it as, you know, my purpose professionally, to help women get hold of the best of themselves again and run with it. So the Enchanted Self for 15 years has been a source of sort of infusing women and girls, with the final results being my latest book, The Truth, I'm a Girl, I'm Smart, and I Know Everything, which is designed to help little girls, 8 to 12, and their moms, again, get reinfused with recognizing their wisdom and their humor and their happiness and all sorts of things that are good.
Wow, that, yes. We need those, definitely,
yes.
Definitely. I know our hot topic this morning on the Twitter boards was the self-image that is coming across now is that a size 10 is a plus size. And I thought to myself, if a 10 is a plus size, I'm a big girl. I'm a, you know, between a 1X and a 2X. What does that make me, you know?
Yes.
And it's just, it's so horrendous what we do to the preteens and the tweens, and it's just, it's terrible. It needs to stop. And what an exciting way. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
It really does need to stop, because we're hurting our girls. We're making them ill inside,
mm-hmm.
and the result is body damage outside and inside to their internal
mm-hmm.
organs and to, you know, their obsessions and all sorts of things. And we have a very strange culture. Many, many cultures do not focus on the external this way. In fact, many cultures historically have been quite modest about their bodies and, kept them relatively covered or in a very natural state, say in Africa, just totally natural, and it's just life. It's nothing to focus on.
Right, right.
And somehow we have taken it to this very peculiar, highly focused external stuff, and it's very damaging to girls. I mean, the slightest remark can be something, kids teasing another girl in the gym class, wow, your butt, you know, big butt, you know, whatever, something,
mm-hmm.
one remark, and the kid can go home and start to throw up after she eats, start to
mm-hmm.
do, you know, different things, and really, it's nobody's business the size of the other person's butt. You know, it's just like,
right.
How do we get
right.
this way?
Right. I had that problem with my daughter. She developed when she was 9 years old. I had to go buy her a bra. And I had to pull her out of school and homeschool her in the 7th and the 9th grade because she would go to the bathroom and the girls would follow her in there and beat her up in the bathroom. And I said, what is going on? And I didn't understand at first, but what it was the boys were looking at her because she was developed, and the girls were getting jealous. And so I pulled her out, and I said, that's enough. We can't be doing that anymore. And it went away. And, you know, she's married now and fixed to have a baby and works at our local Walmart. And she says, Mom,
mm-hmm.
you will not believe how many of these girls come up to me nowadays and say, I'm sorry for what I did to you in school. And I said, you know, it's a lot of it's maturity and a lot of it's society that puts so much pressure on these girls. It's ridiculous.
Right. Well, I'm so delighted to hear that not only is she a lovely young woman with a husband, and is she already pregnant or trying to be? Or?
Yes. No, she'll have a baby in July. We're due July the 25th.
Beautiful.
We're having a boy.
Okay. So, you know, this is a wonderful success story, and even the girls involved did some penance by apologizing, which is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
What I try to do in, which I have done in the book, The Truth, I'm a Girl, I'm Smart, and I Know Everything, is the girl brings up a lot of issues. For example, in her case, she does not really want to develop. She's afraid, you know, she sees the teens kind of hysterical over boys and whatever, and she's leery of it, but of course, she knows somehow that you don't stop Mother Nature, but what she shares about her anxieties and so on, even if another girl is excited to develop, and some are, The mother of either daughter can sit down and read either the whole book or certain sections of the book, and then they can talk so that the mother can share how she felt when she was growing up, or she was teased, or she felt, you know, that she was afraid to take on the next stage of life, or she couldn't wait or whatever. And you start to open communications, because I do think that one reason girls go off obsessed over the starlets and stuff is that their parents are not that available. Their parents are overloaded between stress and strain and work and whatever, and not knowing how to really sit down and chat and share with their kids.
True. I agree with you.
When kids get enough information and time with their parents to discuss things, they don't turn to other examples like a 14-year-old starlet as much. I mean, they may still be very interested, but it's different. Or a grandparent. We forget how valuable grandparents are.
Right. Or somebody they can trust in the neighborhood. You know, the kids always hang out at my house. My house seems to have always, even when my daughter was home, the kids always hung out here. And my husband made a comment one time, why is it that our house is a hangout house? And I said, you know what? When you were growing up, don't you wish you had some place that you could go to that you felt safe and could be open and feel accepted? That's what I want our house to be. If you got a problem, I don't care what it is, and if it's a boy or a girl, you know, and you need to say something, here, you know, say it. Here we are. We're here to help you. Because there's so many girls and kids out there nowadays that don't have anybody to turn to. It's just, it's overwhelming sometimes of the things that come through my door, you know, problems, school problems, home problems. And we're not a perfect household by any means, but it's there for them, you know. And I cherish when kids come here and say, hey, you know what? I've got a problem. Can you help me? I wish there was
like
more
out there. I should interview you because you're so interesting, you know.
Oh, well, thank you.
You know, it just sounds like you've done all these incredible things in a very natural way to bring some degree of normalcy and happiness to kids that enter your lives.
I hope so. I mean, you know, I come from an abused, not growing up, but my husbands were very abusive and everything. And I always told myself, you know, if I ever have children, I'm doing the opposite of what happened to me. You know, that has to be better than what I went through. So it's, you know, it's there, and it's just self-image is a lot of it. And it's so ridiculous in these schools these days. I hear it all the time from the guys and the girls.
Yeah. Well, I've been very pleased to be invited into some schools where, say, the guidance counselor is using the truth as a book for a group of girls, like in a girls' club. And then they're really making an effort to get to the subjects around being bullied and the first crush and all these things that are so relevant, moving, father losing a job, maybe a new baby in the family, or maybe just being jealous of another sibling, you know, that it really helps to bring these topics alive, that it's safe to have certain feelings, that we all do have extreme emotions at times, even peculiar thoughts, you know, and it's just a matter of the safety of learning about ourselves.
Right. I agree with you. I tell you, it's just kids nowadays they've got so much on their plates, it's unreal. I mean, my son's 10th grade, and I do not remember having that much on my plate until I think I was almost married and had kids, you know? I mean, it's just every day it's something, you know?
Right.
It's like they can't even be a kid for once.
It's very hard, and I'm just constantly looking of ways to educate the public and even teachers, because teachers get caught up in it too. So one of the things that I'd like to talk about for a minute, because I have a free paper on my website, and it's really something you can modify, and I'll explain why. On my major website, which is Enchanted Self, one word, enchantedself.com, right on the front page you can download a paper that I call The Seven Gateways to Happiness. Mm-hmm. And that paper is basically set up for women when you download it, with examples and exercises you can do. And it's based, though, on a seven-facet model that you can also do with your kids and that teachers can do in the classroom anywhere. So I want to just very briefly go over the seven points that if you bear in mind and you help your kids get through them and understand them, they're going to be happy adults. So the first one is what you're talking about, Deb, and that is building self-esteem rather than crushing it. And we all know how critical we are in terms of a child. I mean, one remark from a parent, a grandparent, an uncle, a school teacher, you know, that infers stupidity or lack of capacities or being homely, whatever it is too much. It can be worse than an illness. It's so painful what it leaves. So we all have an investment in treating kids with dignity, pointing out their strengths, laughing at their jokes. I mean, not faking, but trying to get into their world so that you genuinely see their talents and strengths, you know, and their potential when you're with them. And then the second, you know, the second gateway is tied into that, but this is really important for parents. I call it creating a narrative to your life, and that means helping kids kind of see their lives not just in isolation, but say generationally. You know, you're a fifth generation, part Indian, you have part Indian, you have part German, you have part French. You know, five generations ago, you had one of your great-great-great-grandfathers was a tribal leader in Wyoming. I mean, that's history. You know, that's empowering. You have some story to your life. And look at how you're, you know, you have all these wonderful skills like your grandparents had. You love to bake. You're great in the garden. Whatever it is, you look for it. And then the third gateway is helping your kids do what they need to do and get the education they need. Sometimes parents really don't understand. You know, they don't stand, it's so different kid to kid. Sometimes a parent is embarrassed to go into the school and ask for a change of classroom. Sometimes a kid really does need a tutor and the parent is just angry at the kid. It varies constantly, but we do have a responsibility so that they get skills. And the fourth gateway is what you're talking about before, Deb, helping the kids replenish and stay happy. I would ask a rhetorical question, you know, why does a kid need an activity every day? It's very good for kids to daydream, waste some time, you know, sleep, take a little mini nap. Yes, they should have the vigor of some sense of schedule, but they shouldn't be exhausted, and they need a lot of sleep. I think sometimes parents and teachers forget that kids need like 10 hours of sleep, which means, you know, it's going to take a half hour to get into bed. It's going to take a while to wake up in the morning. You're talking about at least 11-hour chunk that you better try to help them keep that.
Right. Yeah, and here lately my son's been running the last three or four nights, and I say, it's going to catch up with you. I'm okay, and I'm like,
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of research that the logic around certain decisions, like being able to judge what we need, what's good for us, even in nutrition, sleeping, you know, whatever it is, making good decisions, isn't fully formed till we're about I think it's somewhere between 24 and 28.
Wow.
So, like, he may really not know that he's running on empty as far as sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And, you might
and that's probably true.
You know, you may
and
even
he would
want
tell
to
me he's fine no matter whether
yeah.
he's fine or not, you know, just so he can get
yeah.
up and go.
And if there's any way you can just help him get a good night's sleep, that would be great.
Right.
He probably really needs it.
Yeah, I told him, I said, if you get to go tonight for a third night or fourth night in a row, I said, your curfew will be met and there's going to be no phone call saying, hey, I'm in the middle of something. Can I please have an extra 30 minutes? Because that's not going to happen. You need to get some sleep.
Oh, good. That was smart. Very smart.
So, you know,
yep.
I had to put my big foot down.
That's good. See, you're a big girl with a big foot. That's wonderful. I mean, you're going to be, that's right. It's what you should be. And the kid needs, you know, our presence in a big way, but not a way that cuts into the sense of hope and
right.
feeling that I can be somebody when I grow up. And, you know, most people really intuitively know these differences, but when
mm-hmm.
rage and anger takes over, they forget.
Oh, that is so true. I have my brother who's staying with us, and he just went and got his son, and his son just turned 18 on Easter. And he, you know, sitting up in here, and he has had a very different upbringing and got out on his own when he was 16 or 17, and he comes in here and he calls me mom, which is fine with me. And I told him, I said, you know what, you're 18 now, and I said, there's going to be responsibilities that you're going to have to handle because you're an adult. I said, but you still live under my roof, and there's still certain rules that you have to follow. And
mm-hmm.
he got mad. He's having trouble at school, this new school, from day one. The other boys, you know, he's a big kid, not big fat, but big football player dude. He's like 6'3", and, you know, he lifts weights and stuff, so he's really muscular, and they just pick on him. And I told him this morning he didn't want to go to school, and I said, you're going to school, because I said, one thing, you can't back down from these people and let them run you off and keep you away from your dreams. And if you're going to run the rest of your, you know, today, you're going to let people run you off from your dreams the rest of your life. You have to stand up to them and say, hey, you know what? I'm here. I want to play football. I want to go to school. This is my
mm-hmm.
dream. Go bother somebody else.
Now, is this a public school?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Now you,
and
you
he just
said
started
all
last week.
Yeah. You did all, again, I give you an A+. The one thing that I might mention, though, is that either you or your, is it your brother?
Uh-huh.
Your brother's son? You know, one
yeah.
of you might really go in and speak to his guidance counselor, make sure that somebody befriends him and maybe invites him in to stop in once a day, how's it going, and
right.
make them work a little harder to help this kid be comfortable.
Right. That's what I told him. I said, you know, you're the new kid on the block, and everybody's going to be looking at you and
mm-hmm.
watching every little move that you make right now, and he's, you know, goes to school with my son, and my son and this girl brought him home. Well, the girl had a boyfriend, and he thinks he's moving on his territory, which he's not, you know. And, you know, teenagers are going to be teenagers. That's what happens
right.
in Teenageville, you know. And I told my brother, I said, you need to say something to him. He said, I haven't been around my son in 10 years. I don't know what to say. And
yeah.
I said, let me hold your hand and tell you. I said, you need to sit down and talk to your child. And, of course, he got mad. And, oh, you're not my mom, and then blah, blah, blah. And I said, you know what? I am not your biological mother, but I'm the closest thing you have at this point in your life. And if I didn't love you and I didn't care about you, I wouldn't tell you what I'm telling you now.
Well, you're still rolling right along. The only thing you're leaving out is using the school to also help you on this. And
that's a good suggestion.
You know, they'll do more if they're told and they're kind of linked to the kid.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't hurt. It usually makes a kid feel cared about, you know, when
mm-hmm.
somebody, when a guidance counselor takes an interest and says, look, I want to see you once a day, stop in, you know, tell me how it's
mm-hmm.
going. That's important.
Mm-hmm. I will make a phone call when we
yeah.
get done here today, then. That's a good idea.
Okay. So now, very quickly, the last three gateways, Go ahead. Talk if you have something on your mind.
Oh, no, no, no. I'm fine. Go ahead. I'm listening.
Oh, okay. The fifth one is helping our kids recognize mentors and also praising them when they're a mentor. You know, even a second grader might be teaching his four-year-old brother how to tie his shoes, and that's great. You know, help them feel proud about themselves. And also, don't stand in their way or get jealous, because we're all human, if they find a mentor that's not you. You know, there may be a neighbor that's a really good cook, and she loves to have kids in her kitchen and teach them recipes. I had a neighbor who taught us how to sew, and I don't think my mother cared, but it's possible another woman would feel, you know, a little bit, it's my turf. But try to be careful so that kids end up with a lot of sense of the whole, you know, it takes a village to raise a kid. And then the next gateway is belonging and not isolating, socializing. A lot of times we think kids are totally socialized, you know, because they've got these girlfriends and boyfriends and they're IMing and they're laughing hysterically and stuff, but they might not be in the right social groups, you know, and they may need real help to be encouraged to be in, say, a Sunday school class where they meet certain kids that also become, if not best friends, at least good friends or acquaintances. They may need the socializing of a week in a summer camp so that they at some point learn how to make friends that may be just transitory kids, you know, in their lives, but they move beyond a little clique. So we've always got that responsibility. With your nephew, you know, the sense of, say, making friends here, whether he stays a year or 5 years, that becomes another social thing that he needs to handle and as you're trying to help him. And then the last gateway is doing good deeds and creating a better world, a kind of win-win for everybody, positive action. And, you know, kids really become better citizens and feel better about themselves when they give charity, when they help people, when they see family members involved in little projects, whether it's sprucing up, you know, the neighborhood or it's visiting the sick in a nursing home, whatever it is. And sometimes, again, our culture is so skewed sometimes toward the vanity side of life, that parents don't necessarily infuse their kids with enough of this kind of sense of helping the world, helping your neighbor, helping in your family.
Right.
So those are the seven gateways. And as I said, you can download the free paper, and you can very quickly think as you're reading it, what does it mean for your child? So, you know, it's there for women. It's there for kids, too.
Right. Yes, and there's just so many out there that seems to be out on their own anymore, and they're thriving and thirsty for some kind of guidance, some kind of boundary, some kind of something. Sometimes they miss the boundary and, you know, get off the mark, but they're really looking for somebody to help them back to that mark to get their lives going and keep it on the narrow path.
Yeah. Yeah,
I have found in my world anyway. Well, why don't you go ahead and tell the listeners where your website is again, so they can look for the paper.
And I want to tell them. So let me mention again that my main website is one word, enchantedself.com, but I have spun off several other things that you really should know about. One is that the new book, The Truth, I'm a Girl, I'm Smart, and I Know Everything, of course, is available on Amazon as well as on my website. But I also have a blog that goes with it, and that's called The Truth for Girls, thetruthforgirls.com. And it has a section for teachers, a section for parents, a section for kids, as well as just general articles like The Seven Gateways, more, you know, modified for kids that I throw up there as busily as I can type them and get them in the computer although I am now faced for the first time with some pain in my right wrist. So, you know, these new, I suppose I'm paying the price for computer usage for the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll have to, I may have to go back to my dictating, which I used to do in the old days. But anyway, it's a wonderful blog. And I have up there pictures of kids. There's a little group of kids down in, I think, South Carolina that are reading the truth. There's a picture of them. There's a group of kids out in Stanton, Iowa, who are reading the truth. There's a picture of them and pictures of kids in New Jersey where I live. And really, my dream about this book is to have it get a kind of viral life to it so that one girl passes it along to another girl, or even more excitingly, let's say you have a daughter out in Arizona that reads it, and then when she's done, you know, she packages it up and sends it to her first cousin who's in Massachusetts, and then, you know, that girl tells her friends and four other girls buy it. And you get this energy that comes with girls feeling good about themselves and their mothers looking over their shoulder, because, you know, mothers always want to know what is this book and why does she like it. But see, I want the mother to ask those questions.
Good.
You know, so she is drawn into.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I wish, you know, looking back, my mother and I was very not on the same level at all whatsoever growing up. And, you know, my mother passed away in 2004, and there's times that I think to myself, oh, I can't do that to my daughter. I want a closer and better relationship, and I've really strived to work on that. Don't get me wrong, it's not been a bed of roses, but my daughter and I are very close, and that just is so overwhelming that I love it. And it's just something that I thrive on, and I'm happy that we can do that.
Isn't it wonderful when you can make a correction generation to generation? I think that's
it
really
is.
Thrilling.
It is, you know. And my mom, I know, didn't get along with my grandmother and so forth and so forth and so forth down the line. And I told myself when I was growing up, if I ever have a daughter in life, I will never, ever do this. This is, I know how it feels, so I wouldn't want to do it to somebody else. You know what I mean?
Right. And you didn't.
Yes,
that's
my one great accomplishment in life. I didn't do that. If anything else, I never did. I never did that. So.
Wow. That's terrific.
So, yes, I made up my mind a long time ago. Now, my son, he's a little bit different. My son, I love him to death. He's very quiet and very to himself, and I have to bring in reinforcement. Him and his dad don't see eye to eye, just like me and my daughter didn't in the teenage years. And so I have to bring in, you know, my nephew or my son-in-law, you know, they're about the same age and stuff. And I tell him, go in there and see what's going on. Let me in. You know, I tell my son, you don't have to tell me everything. Just let me in enough to know that you're safe and you're all right. And if you have a problem, I'm here for you.
Right, right.
You know,
yeah.
And boys seem to be very quiet.
They're very
until it's
quiet.
Too late.
You know, I know. I mean, you smell a rat, you know, after a couple of days, and by the time you confront the child or the young man, usually the die is cast, which is a big problem. While with a girl, you kind of know a week before often that something's going to go wrong. It's so different.
Exactly true. So, yeah, when my son came home last night, and he wears a hoodie sweatshirt they all wear, you know, that zips in the front, and he's kind of goofy anyway, and he had it around his neck, and I didn't really pay no attention to him. I'm looking in his eyes and smelling his breath, make sure we're still, you know, we ain't doing something we're not supposed to be doing. And I get up, and I take everybody to work, and I take my brother, and I drop off the kids, the boys first, and my brother looks at me, he goes, did you see your son's neck this morning? And I'm like, no, why? He said, because he's got hickeys all over it. And I said, uh-uh. He said, yeah, and I said, no wonder he had that coat around his neck. That little sneak, he'll be talking about that today when he gets home. So.
Oh, wow.
He thinks he's a little bit sneakier, so. Yeah, so we're going to have a fun afternoon today.
Yes,
but,
you
know,
are.
Here we are in Teenageville again.
Yes, yes.
You know.
And it's really hard on the young men. I am so sympathetic, although most of my research and work, a lot of it's been with the girls. I think it must be terrible to have the pressures of earning enough income and stuff, particularly in today's world. You know, it's so hard.
It is. He has a part-time job. He works for the neighbor lady who's a widow, and he goes over there and cuts her grass and takes out her cat litter and garbage and sweeps and mops her floors, and that gives him some responsibility and gives him a little bit of cash in his pocket each week. And, you know, I told him, I said, there's going to come a time when you're going to want cars and, you know, other things, nice clothes and stuff. And I said, you're going to have to go out into the real world. But I said, these few years that you've been working part-time for this neighbor lady, I said, this is getting you prepared for the bigger scene that you got coming into your life one day, whether I'm here or not. You know, that's something that may or may not happen. But this is what you're here for. This is your testing to get you prepared for what's lying ahead of you.
Wow, it's good, very good. Terrific.
Well, thank you.
Well, you sound still such a busy lady with all of these websites and the radio show. And you see, you really Exactly. And, you know, my little book, I'm sure I'm somewhat older than you, and my mother's very ill. And
I'm sorry.
Thank you. You know, my little book, it keeps me going. It keeps me directed toward my mission. And what I call in my first book, The Enchanted Self, A Positive Therapy, I call it the song of our soul. So, like, everybody has a song to sing while we're alive. You just have to kind of get to it and let it come out. And see, you epitomize what I look for and try to get women to kind of come together to be. You know, look at how rich your life is between running around with the kids, giving advice, running a house, and also reaching out on the web to thousands of women through a radio show as well as a number of websites that sell products and all sorts of things and, you know, have articles. You know, I'm sure that your mental health is benefiting from this, if I could put it that way, you know.
I hope so. Some days I'm like, are you in there? Hello?
you know.
I probably would lay in the bed and just waste away to nothing. You know, my husband told me a long time ago, he said, one of the main reasons why I love you so much is because you're a dreamer and you follow your dreams. You're not hesitant to take a risk. You're a gambler. You know, you get out there and you grab what you need and you deal with what's put on your plate and the extras that are put on your plate, and you somehow spin what you need out of it and make sure everybody around you's got the same portion that you do.
Wow.
And I thought to myself, wow, where did you come from? What did you do with my room?
Yeah, I like this guy.
Yeah, and you know, I was like, whoa. But remember, this is the same guy when I turned 40 a couple years ago who bought me Caltrate for my birthday because he was worried about my bone density. So, okay. So we go from one end of the spectrum to the other. But that's a man for you, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and what he said was true, and I never thought about it until he had mentioned it. And, you know, that is me in a nutshell. But if I didn't have it, I probably would sit in this bed and sit in this house and just waste away to nothing and wouldn't have a purpose in life.
It would be such a loss for you and for everyone because you have energy and you're good-hearted and you're productive. And it's just a win-win. It's what I talk about as a seventh gateway. It's a win-win for everybody. And I am really very honored that I got to be on your show. And
well, it was a pleasure for us.
Yeah,
it was exciting. I've learned a lot today.
Yeah, so maybe I can just remind people what I hope they'll look for.
Right,
book. Okay, and my website. So I'll just mention one more time, come to enchantedself.com or thetruthforgirls.com. And go and find, I've written 4 books, but I'm only mentioning 2. I'll just flood you. The first book, The Enchanted Self, A Positive Therapy, which is available on Amazon, gives you all the history of being a positive psychologist, developing working with women in the treatment room and the developing the seven gateways, everything we're talking about. And then my latest book, The Truth, I'm a Girl, I'm Smart, and I Know Everything, brings you right up to the present with a book that your kids can read. Boys have read it and got a kick out of it. And you can read, or your mother or your best friend, and you can all enjoy it, but also be reawakened to the best in yourselves so that you get in touch with your purpose and your energy, like we've been talking about, Deb and I. So thanks again for just coming into my life, Deb, and I hope this show is a benefit to people who listen to it now.
Oh, I bet it is. And it is such a pleasure having you on the show. And Dr. Barbara, you just come back and see us anytime. And I hope we can stay in contact. And it was just a pleasure meeting you.
Thanks so much, Deb.
Okay, you have a great day.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, ladies, that was just a well show today. And learned a lot about women and girls and self-images. And don't forget to go to her website, enchantedself.com, and get the seven gateway papers that is free for download that she spoke about. And we do have an announcement. Let me see if I can pull this paper up real quick. We have a new thing on our website. And our website, we have a thing that's called Dare to Be Letters Projects. And it's when women unite for a common purpose and for the benefit of others, they will change the world. Power Women Magazine and Dare to Be are united forces to start a sea of change in our own lives, within our families, our communities, our nation, and our world, and it also starts with one woman sharing her story. The Dare to Be Letter Project wants you to share how you're daring to be in your life. We dare you to discover who you are. We dare you to dream big. We dare you to live in the moment, and we also dare you to the change. As you dare to be you, you will find your experiences, big and small, can and will inspire others. All you need to do is share your stories with us. The letters we receive will form an e-book compilation, if I can get that word out, with 50% of the proceeds from the sales of each book going to help women and children all over the world. This Mother's Day marks the start of the movement. Be a part of the change and offer hope to other women by daring to be the powerful woman you already are. So visit our website, which is powerwomenmagazine.com, or you can visit the daretobe.ca website for more information. You can follow us on Twitter at powerwomenmag or at dare2bu, just a big U, and sign up for our weekly dares to help you find out more joy, passion, and fulfillment in your life. There's more information on the weekly dares that are on our magazine at powerwomenmagazine.com. You can see each week we're going to start with next month, and we're going to start posting some of those. We're going to put it into an ebook together. And if you need us or have any questions, you can reach us by email at powerwomenmagazine@gmail.com. But all the information is on the website, and we look forward to getting to know you and what you dare to be and how you experience your dare to be letters. So we invite you to join us next week. Next month is our Domestic Violence Month, and we're going to have some great guests next week. Wilby's going to be here. And in case you don't know who she has her own little corner on our magazine, and she answers questions from all different kinds of women about all different kinds of domestic violence issues that women go through. We will also have, that's on May the 5th show, which is next week. On May the 12th, we will have Annie Jacoby, and she is doing realistic female self-defense. The week after, we have Dr. Karen, which is on the 19th for Anxiety Wellness Mentor. And then on the 26th, we're going to have Trisha Greaves and HealYourHunger.com. So we have a lot coming up. We have a lot of great ladies coming on and sharing some information for upcoming shows that you might be interested in. If you would like to learn more about us, sign up for our newsletter. We are filled with information for women issues and a lot of other things that are going on in communities around you, you can do that at our website at powerwomenmagazine.com. And that wraps up our show for this week, ladies. We were so excited to have Dr. Barbara Holstein come on the show with us today. And don't forget to go to her website at enchantedself.com. And we look forward to seeing you next week. Have a wonderful and powerful week. Bye-bye, ladies.